Amen. Many years ago, there was a Scotsman who saved up all his money and gathered all his pennies and paid for passage on a great ocean liner to America. And being a Scotsman, he was a bit tight with his money, and he gathered up some bread and or some crackers and some cheese and a little bit of fruit before his departure, and took it with him to feed him on his journey. Obviously, this went okay for 4 or 5 days until the crackers started to go soft, the cheese became mouldy, and the fruit began to perish. And the poor old Scotsman, he started to get hungry. His stomach was rumbling, and even though he was tight of his money, he thought, I'm going to have to splash out, I'm going to have to buy something to eat. So he made his way down to the great dining hall, and you can imagine his eyes when he walked in, and he realized that everything in the dining hall was paid for in the price of his ticket all along. It is all free. It is there free for all who wanted it, to partake of it. But because of his stinginess, he never thought that anyone would give anything away for free. And friends, what a picture that is, even in salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided all that is necessary for you to be saved tonight. All is necessary. He's paid for eternal life without price and without cost to the sinner. It's a gift of God, a wonderful gift of God available to all who will receive it. Tonight he hands it out to you. He compels you and the gospel to come unto him and receive the gift of eternal life. Everything you need, friend, to satisfy your hungry soul, Jesus has provided, for he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. And yet so many today are famished because they seek to live with the scraps of the world. They seek to satisfy their life with the things of pleasure, the things of sin, and they find no satisfaction, no matter how much they take. And unlike the Scotsman who was unwilling to pay any money, many in the world today are giving away all their money. They're in debt because they're throwing their money into all the things of the world to find satisfaction, and yet they never find it. They're famished. And friend, I wonder tonight, what do you think you need to be happy in life? What do you think you need to have happiness and to be healthy in the spiritual sense? What is it you think you need to attain that in life? Because each one of us, deep down within our heart, we have this urge. Even before we were saved, there was something in our heart. Our conscience was pricked. There was something there. There was an urge. There's something that we need in life to fulfill a void. There's a void there within each one of us. And of course, that void has come around because of sin. Because the peace we had with God is no longer there. And now we're enemies of God, at enmity with God, the Bible describes it as. And therefore there's that void. And there's that coming together, as it were. God is angry with the sinner every day. And the sinner in his own heart knows there's a void, there's something wrong in his life. The Lord Jesus made this interesting observation in verse 27. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him of God the Father sealed. You see, the bread that the Lord gives remains forever. Unlike the Scotsman whose crackers went soft and cheese went mouldy and fruit perisheth, the bread the Lord gives is everlasting. Everlasting, it lasts forever, it never goes mouldy, it brings satisfaction all through life. Because he is the bread of life. And as much as you run after the things of the world, friend, they'll never bring satisfaction. I wonder tonight, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you? Oh, friend, tonight, let me tell you that he's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. And you'll never crave anything else when you have Christ. You'll never want anything else to add to your diet when you've got Christ. Oh, you can try all the fruits of the world, all the foods of the world, all the things of the world, and then never bring satisfaction. Yet bread. Bread and bread alone, you think of that. Just bread. Bread is enough to bring satisfaction. The bread of heaven, Christ himself, fills us to the uttermost and gives us all we need for our life. As I said, I want to commence this series on the I Am statements of Christ, and tonight we want to look at I Am, the bread of life. Firstly, I want you to see the picture in the bread. The picture in the bread. Bread is a symbol of the essentials of life. We all need bread to survive. It is that picture of life, the essential that we need to sustain life, to keep life. We see that even throughout the Bible. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. We go back to Exodus chapter 16. We can think of the children of Israel when they were rescued out of Egypt. And they wandered in the wilderness for a while. And remember, they started to grumble. Said, Lord, we should might as well perish in Egypt. We're going to perish in the wilderness. They started to grumble and complain. They came upon the bitter waters. The Lord, through Moses. Moses threw that branch into the waters, made the water sweet again. The Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15 and 26. But as they wandered around the wilderness of sin, after about 15 days, they started to whine and grumble and complain. Remember the good old days, what we had in Egypt, we had the fruit of Egypt, or this and that to eat, and we're going to starve here. The Lord's brought us out of slavery just to let us die in the wilderness. Well, the Lord heard their grumbling and their mumbling and their complaining. The Lord answered their cry, because the Lord is gracious to each one of us. And through Moses he sent his word, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And for the next 40 years, the Lord fed them with as much as they could eat. They were satisfied. They were filled. And surely they could claim the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and 19, as we all can. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we have that Old Testament example of the essential need of bread. We all need bread to survive. And the Lord provided for the Israelites even in the wilderness wandering. Then if we go to the New Testament and think of the feeding of the 5,000. And again we have the picture of the essential need of bread. The great multitude of people kept following the Lord to see the signs and wonders that he was performing on the sick. A great multitude. And the Lord said to Philip said, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? These people are following you, Lord. They've been here all day. They haven't eaten. How are we going to feed them? And Jesus knew what he was intending to do. And Philip answered him. He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Then Andrew comes along and said, There's a lad here, five loaves and two fishes. And what are they among so many, Lord? This isn't enough to feed these people. Matthew's gospel account tells us there's 5,000 men beside women and children. So as many as the commentator says, as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people here. And we know the great miracle. The Lord gave that the thanks over the bread and the fishes and distributed towards all those that were seated. And they just didn't get a taste of fish, but rather were told they ate as much as they would. So they ate till they're filled. They're full, they're stuffed. It's like one of those all-you-can-eat Chinese buffets where you pay a tenner and you think, I'm going to get my money's worth here, and you go back three or four times even though you're not fit to eat it. And that's the sense here. They eat as much as they could, as to near to the point of being sick. They eat so much. And yet there were 12 baskets left over, and they weren't just scraps on the ground, but these were pieces that were broken by the Lord Jesus Christ that were left over. And what a picture. Christ provides more than enough, more than we'll ever need. He supplies it. And we have that picture here in the bread of the physical need of bread, the essentials of life, how we all need it. And even in that sense, the Lord provides. The Lord never fails. He said, I'll never see the righteous perish or begging for bread. And he always supplies our need time and time and time again. So we have this picture in the bread. And the Lord uses this to give us a spiritual illustration of himself. But notice, secondly, the person the bread represents. As I said, we know what's necessary for life. In the time of Christ, bread was a staple diet. It's the food of the day. That's what most people ate, was bread. And without bread, men died. That's just the way it was. No bread, no life. And Christ here now sets forth clearly that he is the one whom men and women could not do without. Without him, no life. Without the bread of heaven, no life. You cannot do without him. Without him, you're spiritually dead. You're going to perish. Without Christ, he is a life. And in truth, he is all that you need. The next day when the people, we read the verses together here, the people went looking for him. The next day, verse 26, when they found him, they wanted another free meal. Because the miracle of feeding the 5,000 is earlier on in this chapter. And they wanted another free meal on wheels, as it were. If he did it once, this man can do it again for us. And they followed him. And another miracle. The rabbis had taught them that when the Messiah came, that he would duplicate the miracle of the man in the wilderness, how Moses provided for the people. So they were trying to manipulate him. The rabbis were teaching the people, you know, saying, this man, if he's the Messiah, he can do what Moses did. Obviously, he's already fed them. But what does the Lord say to them? He said he offers them meat which endureth, verse 27, unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him have God the Father sealed. But they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Christ spoke of the fact that he was God's gift to men, and that God desired men to believe in him. And in fact, when you think of the manna, it is God that gave the manna, not Moses. God gave it through Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord provided the bread from heaven, not Moses. And Christ speaks of how my Father in heaven has sent down a true bread from heaven, the true bread that each one of you need. Obviously, their response here was they wanted to see miracles. They wanted to see more bread. They wanted the physical bread. That's what they want. And the Lord went on to speak in verses 35 down to 40. 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never perish, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And he's saying, listen, folks. He's saying, I'm not interested in doing signs and wonders and miracles just to entertain you, or just to fall into the trap of the rabbis and the Pharisees who are trying to trip me up. You see, the bread I give you is not physical bread. The bread I give you is the bread from heaven. It's myself. I have come down. The Father has sent me down to fill your souls. Of course, this is one piece of bread the crowd did not want to swallow. They weren't interested in that. Oh, they wanted the food. They wanted the physical food. But they didn't want eternal life. And what a picture that is today of many who would say they're Christians, or many who come to church. And they want blessings from God. They want association with God. They want association with Christ. But they don't want Christ. No, we don't want that. We don't want the preaching of the gospel. We're happy enough to sing. We're happy enough to read the Bible or pray or come to church or enter into religious acts and believe in those things. We are religious, but we don't want Christ. No, no, no. We're not going that far. That's too much for us to swallow. And yet Christ was claiming that he alone could meet their essential needs. You see, they didn't realize that their need was spiritual, not physical. They're running after the physical, getting their bellies filled, but they weren't interested in their hearts. Oh, they were entertained, and many today run to churches to be entertained. There's countless churches across this land tonight and across the world that are filled to capacity. Thousands and thousands of people in them because they come to be entertained. That's what it's all about. They don't want Christ. They don't want the true bread from heaven. They don't want the meat of God's word. They want to be entertained. They've itching ears. And they want the preacher to come along to tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. But they don't want Christ. They don't want the bread. They don't want the meat of the gospel. Here Christ says, I'm not interested in entertaining you. I'm not interested in filling your physical needs in that sense. I'm only interested in your spiritual needs. That's why I'm come. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Just as the water that Christ gives quenches all thirst, so the bread he offers banishes all hunger. And here, because God has sent this down, he said, but my Father give of you the true bread from heaven. The end of verse 32. So he's speaking of himself. Speaking of a person. Speaking of himself. He is the one who's come down from heaven. He is the one that came down in the incarnation, was born into this world. He came down from heaven to dwell among men, to live among men. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And that I am statement is an emphatic statement. He's taken that I am, what God used at the burning bush as he spoke to Moses. I am that I am. And he's putting it together, linking it with the symbol of the perfect sustenance for human life, the essential for human life, bread. He's putting the two together. He says, I am the bread of life. In other words, I am all that you need. I am the one essential that you need for life. It's me. It's nothing else. He said, I am God. I am God of God. I am absolute deity. That is, I am. That's the essential name of God, the deity, speaking of his Godhead. He said, I am what every sinner needs, and what I can provide is eternal life for them. He said, I am come down from my Father in heaven and giveth life unto the world. In other words, to all who will believe in him. See, he said, remember they pointed to their fathers in the wilderness getting the manna? What did he say? He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They got the physical bread, but they're dead. I am come, in contrast, I am come with the living bread to give you life. They are dead, but I am come to give you life, and yet you run after what they received. Well, I am give you the spiritual bread. I give you living life. Notice thirdly, the partaking of the bread. The partaking of the bread. You see, this living bread has to be eaten. Christ explains this in verses 47. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He emphasizes in verse 50 about this eating, that the man may eat thereof. This is, in the original Greek, that word eat, is a one-off eating. It's not a case of coming and coming again. In that sense, it's a one-off. You eat once and you're filled. You eat once and you're satisfied. You eat once and you have eternal life. That's what he's saying here. This is a singular event, a decision to believe and appropriate the gift of eternal life. Jesus is saying that the living bread came down through his incarnation. He came down. And the sinner must eat this bread, which is that decisive moment when they believe. That's what this eating is. It's a picture of believing. Of believing. It's like someone give you something to eat and said, this is wonderful food. This is wonderful food. And you must take that food and you must put it in your mouth to taste it, to eat it, to appreciate what it is. And here this picture is that you must eat, you must partake of it. It's believing in Christ as your Savior. You must take him into yourself. And any person who takes this decision, takes this decisive action to partake of this bread, they will live forever. He says that in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For in my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Here's referring again to his incarnation. He said he is the living bread that come down from heaven, and it is his blood that we drink. And he's speaking here of his death, of the sacrifice, the flesh. He's speaking of his flesh. He's speaking of his sacrifice on the cross as he shed his precious blood, as he gave his life a ransom for many. As we meet around the communion table, that communion feast, we break bread, we partake of the cup. Speaks of Christ and who he is and what he's done for us and his sacrifice upon the cross. And he's speaking here of eating his flesh, drinking his blood. In other words, believing in what he's done and how he died on the middle cross for our sins. He made atonement for our sins. Our sins are covered by that precious blood, by him giving his life a ransom for many. And when we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we assimilate by faith this great provision that God has made for us in the death of Christ. Let me ask you, friend, have you eaten? Have you eaten in that spiritual sense? A.W. Pink, in his writing on this chapter, he makes these applications. He said, eating is essential. Eating is essential. If we are to take advantage of the bread freely offered, eating is essential. Unless I eat the bread, it will not nourish me. It'll not nourish me. I may examine it, study it, smell it, read up on it, but it is useless unless I eat it. useless unless I eat it. I will not be nourished unless I eat it. Friend, tonight, you can have all the knowledge in the world about Christ. You can know this Bible inside out. You can read every theology book that has ever been written. You can go to every Bible college in the world. You can have a doctorate. Whatever you want to think, you can know all there is about Christ, about Him. But unless you have tasted Him, taken Him in that spiritual sense, then, friend, you know nothing of Christ. You know nothing of Christ. It's all in your head. It's all hearsay, but it has never impacted your heart. It'll do you no good. All that knowledge will do you no good on the day of judgment. All that knowledge will do you no good when you leave this scene of time. Unless you've eaten, unless you've partaken of the bread of life. You see, it's essential that you eat. You see, when we eat, we answer to a hunger, don't we? When we're hungry, what do we do when we're hungry? Go to the fridge, we go to the bread bin, we get something, we eat. When we're hungry, we have a craving. We don't grumble, we complain. We go and get something to eat. And when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and awakens our heart and brings about that understanding that we have this spiritual hunger, there's something missing there, what do? We're drawn to Christ and we eat. We eat. We feast on Christ. And without the bread of heaven Christ offers, we perish. We perish without it. Eating also means appropriation, taking it in. You see, I do not take the bread into my body unless I eat. I must take it on my own. I must take it on my own. And when it becomes a part of me in my digestive process, I gain strength. When we eat, when we take that food, when it's in our body, it gives us strength, doesn't it? When we're weak. When we're hungry and perishing of hunger, we are revived when we eat. It gives us strength. And Christ may be beautiful, attractive, appealing, but unless you humble yourself and receive Him as your own, you're still about the spiritual life He gives, friend. Pink said, "Not until I appropriate Him, not until I receive Him as my own, shall I be saved." Notice also, eating is an individual activity. No one else can do this for you, friend. It's not like a baby where you spoon feed them, force feed them at times. When they spit it out, you put it in, you try to get it down their throat, whatever it is to feed that child. This is an individual activity. No one else can do this for you. No one else can feed your soul but yourself as you come to Christ and partake of Him. Watching others eat will never nourish you. You can have a big steak dinner sitting there and someone else can eat it and you can smell it and, oh, it smells good, and you can look at it, it looks good and all the rest. It's presented beautifully and that person's eating it and they're enjoying it, but you're never getting any nourishment from it by watching them eat. It's not going to satisfy your hunger by watching them eat. It's not going to do you any good unless you take it for yourself and eat it for yourself. You must do this yourself. Christ said, unless you've eaten the bread of life, unless, He said, if any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. Friend, this is a personal activity. You must partake of Christ yourself. You see, there are many strong believers in hell. Did the devil not believe? His angels, did they not tremble? There are many believers on the road to hell tonight because they've never partaken of the living bread. Oh, they knew all about it. They seen it. They smelled it. They could describe it and all the rest, but they never partook of it. And tonight, they're lost. Lost for eternity because they were never nourished, never saved through it. They rejected it for the crumbs of the world. And friend, I wonder tonight, is that what you're doing? You're rejecting Christ, the bread of life, the true bread from heaven. You're rejecting Him for the crumbs of the world. And there's no satisfaction. See, we read in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Christ that will satisfy your soul tonight. Nothing else. No one else. It's only Christ. And He says, whenever you partake of Him, you will receive everlasting life. Everlasting life. What a joy that is. To know that you have life and have life for all eternity. Maybe you're here tonight and say, how do I partake of this bread? How do I receive this bread that has been offered to me in the gospel? How do I receive this bread by faith? What do I have to do to experience this, to fill this craving in my soul, this hunger in the pit of my heart that I cannot fill in the things of the world? I've tried church. I've come here for years, but of no satisfaction. I've tried morality. My self-righteousness fails me. How do I receive this? Simply, you come to Christ and say, Lord, I know that I'm perishing. If you think back to the prodigal son, he knew that he was going to die. He couldn't find anything to satisfy him. He knew there was nothing there to fill his void. And friend, you need to come to that place and realize there's nothing in life. I've tried it all and it's failed. And nothing there will bring me satisfaction. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve this bread that has been offered. I know I deserve to perish in my spiritual hunger. I deserve to go to hell. I know all that. I deserve all that. And yet I look to the one who is offering mercy to me tonight. I look to Christ. I look to him who on that middle cross died and gave his life for me. The one who suffered the wrath of a holy God, that punishment that I justly deserved, as Christ bore that for me on the cross. I look to him. And as I look to his death, I see he died on behalf of me. And I stand in that place where I deserve judgment. But I cry for mercy. Just like that blind man cried, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And praise God, the wonderful, tremendous good news of the gospel is that it's a simple message. It's simply to come and to receive. There's nothing complicated about it. It's just as if I would set a hot meal here in this pulpit and say, come and eat it. That's how simple it is. Come and eat it. Just admit to me that you're hungry and you haven't found anything else to satisfy your hunger. Come and receive what I offer you. That's what Christ says in the gospel. That everything else has failed. And you realize that. And you come to Christ and you throw yourself at his mercy. And he feeds you. And he feeds you. And he satisfies you. And he's promised to give you eternal life. One final thought just as we close. I want you to see the pursuing of our daily bread. The pursuing of our daily bread. Verse 54, Christ writes, whoso eat of my flesh and drink of my blood have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. We have a wonderful thought here. You see, when we partake of this bread, when we receive, that's not the end of our eating. Oh yes, we have satisfaction in the spiritual sense. We have received eternal life. That can never be taken away from us. But we continue to eat daily in the spiritual sense as we are nourished, as we grow, as we live by faith, as we read his word, as we listen to the preached word, as we come to him in prayer. We feast upon the bread of life. We feast upon Christ. And what a wonderful thought this is, that you will never exhaust him in this life or the next. You think of that. If you were to live on a diet of bread every day of your life, from the moment you were born to the moment you died, do you think you'd get fed up eating bread? I think you would. Don't we go through phases? We maybe find a favourite food, we eat it for a while, we eat so much of it, I've sickened myself of that, I can't look at any more of that, give me something different, and we try something different. But friend, we'll never, ever tire of feeding on Christ. We never tire of feeding in Christ, because we'll spend eternity learning more about him and feeding on him and feasting on him. And what a wonderful thought is, that we'll never exhaust the glories of our Savior. Eternity, we'll spend it learning him and getting to know him and we'll never exhaust that knowledge of him. What a thought that is. And now, until we come to that point, we are to pray. Remember, the Lord taught his disciples to give us this day our daily bread. And do we feast in Christ daily in that spiritual sense? So yes, we are to pray for our physical food and our daily provisions, but there's also the spiritual needs of our souls. We are to partake of this bread daily in that sense that we grow upon him as we look to him and his word, as we learn more about him, as he teaches us about ourselves and about him, as we're conformed daily into his image. That's why we're saved, to be conformed to his image, our ongoing sanctification. Paul speaks, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, about the spiritual meat. And that's what we get when we feast upon Christ in all his glories and all that he's done. And when we remember Christ died for us, when we remember what he's done for us, when we look forward to glory and what awaits us there, we feast upon him, we feed upon him, and our souls are filled daily. A continuing pursuing of our daily bread. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I am crucified of Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And that's how we live, feasting on Christ daily. When we've come to him, repented of our sin, trusted in him, he gives us eternal life, and we spend the remaining of our life on this earth feasting upon him, feeding upon him. Oh, I wonder what's your spiritual appetite like tonight, Christian? Do you hunger for more of the Lord? Paul says, that I may know him. That was Paul, the great apostle Paul, that I might know him. That was his desire. Is that your desire tonight? As you feed upon Christ, have you a hunger for his word? Have you a hunger for the preached word? Have you a hunger for the place of prayer? This is how we feast upon him. This is how we grow. This is where we get our daily bread. And dear friend, dear sinner, let me urge you as we close, are you hungry tonight? Have you found satisfaction for your soul? Or are you craving something? And no matter what you try, you can never fill it. I will urge you tonight to come to Christ, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. What good news that is tonight for the sinner. Simple. Just come. Just partake of him. Receive him. He'll not return you away. We read it earlier in verse 37. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He won't turn you away, friend. He won't turn you away. Rather, he commands you to come. We are to repent and to believe the gospel. Will you come to him tonight? Will you come and feed upon the bread of life, that true bread from heaven that will feed your soul, that will satisfy your soul, that will give you eternal life? Oh, come this evening and trust in Christ for his name's sake. Amen. Let's come to the Lord. Let's seek the Lord as we close the meeting. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful application of the gospel we see, even in this I Am statement. We thank you that Christ is the bread of life. Think of how bread is that essential sustenance for our life in the physical sense. We need to eat or we'll die. And yet we see the same thing in the spiritual sense. We need to eat of Christ in that spiritual picture we have. Oh Lord, we pray this evening that those who are lost tonight, those who are still in sin, those who are trusting in anything else outside of the Savior would come tonight and would experience what it is to feast upon the Savior. They would come and have their sins forgiven. They would come and partake of Christ. They would have their souls satisfied. They'd be made ready for heaven and for home. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the hope that's found for the sinner. There's no hope outside of it tonight. And we pray and urge those who are listening tonight, who are still lost in their sin, to consider God's word to them tonight. that they would come and trust in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, bless each one of us. We thank you for a profitable day in thy house. We thank you for a blessed day in thy house. And Lord, we pray that as we leave tonight, we will leave blessed and encouraged. And Lord, set us up for the week that is before us. Bless, Lord, every meeting throughout the rest of this week. And bless the children on Tuesday evening. Undertake for all these things, we pray. Bless us now, Lord. Part us with thy fear and with thy favour. We pray it all in our Saviour's precious and all-prevailing name. Amen.